Welcome all of you here. We're going to have an informational hearing today regarding the Kalaupuia High School program that has been highly regarded and much touted. Just as by way of disclaimer, I would like to announce that I will be leaving at approximately 1:30. It's not because of lack of interest in what you'll be presenting, but my judiciary, House and Senate Judiciary Committees are leaving for Pendleton this afternoon for a hearing tomorrow. So Vice Chair Dahlen will then take the gavel, and we look very much forward to in a very informative session. Thank you, Representative Barr, for making this available for us. So with that, we will here bring Fred Christman and Bob Saunders forward. Is that correct? Okay. Kalaupuia High School.
My name is Fred Christman. I'm the principal and teacher at Kalaupuia High School, and I just wanted to thank Representative Farr and the committee for allowing this opportunity to share what we think is a unique model for an alternative high school. It's in the Bethel School District, and I'm not sure if you're familiar. It's northwest Eugene. There are three major school districts, Springfield, Eugene, and Bethel. Bethel has about 5,500 students with Willamette High. It's a single high school district, and it has about 1,500 students. We experienced in the Bethel district rapid growth in the mid-90s. And because of that, and increasing rising expectations at the high school to meet SIM and CAM, there were a group of students that came in, and their needs just weren't being met. And so there were about six or seven educators that got together in the mid-90s, and we developed a plan because we'd had a learning center. It was a school within a school, and our kids were doing very well in the learning center. Smaller teacher-to-student ratio, varied curriculum, accelerated learning, which we've all included in. I'm not sure whether you all have this packet at this point.
But, okay. It's on its way.
And so what we did was we were working real well with kids, but they were having problems in the regular high school, you know, the lunchrooms, the hallways. They felt in such a big atmosphere, they felt more a part of the school or dislocated in the school rather than a member of the school population. Because of that, we started to recognize that we needed to create a building away from Willamette in order to meet their needs. And we did. We have, when you see this, we talk about when you develop alternative schools, there are three major approaches when you're dealing with alternative schools. One is the repair and replace. You take a kid, you send them someplace because they're having problems in the traditional system, and you get some kind of behavior modification, some kind of maybe learning skills, some kind of drug rehab. Maybe they go into the juvenile justice system. And then you replace them back into the traditional school system. The issue you have there are twofold. One is, unless you've changed something in the traditional system that caused them to have problems in the first place, they're going to experience that same thing. Now, I'm not saying some don't make it, especially if they go through drug rehab or something like that. Then they're successful. But the other one, and the sad one, is a kid has to admit he's broken. You have to say, I'm broken, fix me, and then put me back in the regular system. That's real hard to do for an adult, regardless of a 16 or 17-year-old person. The next one is the holding tank. And these three alternative approaches come from Marianne Raywood, and when you get the paper you'll have the citation of the magazine and some of her works. But the other one is the second one is, whatever you do with this kid, I don't care, just take him someplace. It's a holding tank, you know, get him out of here. They're wrecking the system, they're causing disruptions in the regular school, move them on. That, again, I don't think meets the needs of those kids that we look at as throwaway. And some school districts and some communities do look at them as throwaway. What Bethel did, and we were lucky enough, was we created a real alternative option for kids, and that's at Kalaupuia. And the way we did that was, well, Mr. Saunders can address that, because we really looked at how we were going to create what academic environment they were going to be in.
About the three approaches, you should have that on the first page of the handout now. We chose the third, which was to try and find a place and a way in which we could maintain continuous and effective academics in an environment that was conducive for learning. I'd like to back up just a little bit to say how we chose the approaches we chose. Both Mr. Christman and myself were failures of the regular system of education. I dropped out at the end of my sophomore year. He at least made it to his senior year, but we had to take alternative diplomas. So much of what we were thinking about in the time frame of the 1990s was what would have worked for us. And we began with something as basic as the physical location, the physical layout of a school. The use of artificial light, the lack of windows, the cramped confines of a hallway in which you have over 1,000 people milling around. And I hated the physical layout of the school, and I saw very little application in the classes I was taking. So for years we talked about, A, how do we have a continued and effective academic program if the kids don't see any application for it? And B, where on earth will we give it in such a way that they're comfortable, relaxed, and attentive and ready to learn? And the first thing we came to a conclusion about is that this alternative program, whatever it would look like, had to be away from the existing structure of Willamette High School. And for us, quite frankly, a miracle happened. We had a group of architects, once the decision had gone its routine through the school district, who sat down with us and allowed us, the staff, for the first time, to architecturally create a one-room schoolhouse that we thought would most likely fit the needs of most of our students. It is almost impossible to explain to you what that atmosphere is like unless you have the opportunity to physically walk through the front door. Every visitor to our building says, "This is amazing. It's so comfortable in here, and everybody is on task." It is a huge two-story, wide-open arena in which education takes place in small groups or pods of students, each sharing with the different separate classes anecdotal comments that might come up between teachers. Mr. Christman teaches right alongside me, and I teach right alongside him. And sometimes in my economics class, we will turn to listen to his history class talk about the Great Depression, and vice versa. If I have a student who is off task, a teacher or Mr. Christman can look at one of my students and get them on task. It's like an extended family atmosphere in which all people are continually engaged in the course of the learning day. To give you an example of how well this atmosphere works, we are in our third year of a group of kids who are known for off-task behavior, fighting behavior, aggressive behavior. We have had 2.5 fights, Mr. Christman?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive. And a lot of it has to do with the physical environment. Although it's very hard to acquire data for that. It's just a gut feeling from everybody who works there, who has been in that building, that the physical environment is conducive and healthy for young minds to learn. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you because I'm becoming enthralled here, and because I have to go, I want to insert my queries here. Did you replicate a model that you had experienced somewhere, or was this just kind of the creative crafting from both of your geniuses?
We had about 7 teachers that had worked in the learning center, and what we knew was, especially with alternative ed kids and regular kids a lot of times, you may have a different relationship with that student than I do. I might be working with them, and then all of a sudden we have a conflict. You can move in and take over. We wanted to create a larger space to where you had 3 or 4 adults that interacted with maybe, we have as many as probably 40 kids or 50 kids out in a large area. We do have individual classrooms. Actually, if you look on page 4, you'll see a diagram of the school. When you walk in the front door, this large area is probably 4 or 5 times as big as this room. And there are 4 or 5 classes going on at the same time. But like, if one of my kids gets off task, Mr. Saunders can come in and help. What we found was we wanted a large classroom, and we just wanted to make it bigger. And there's windows in all the walls, so you could stand in the middle of the school and look through all the windows into every classroom and see it. I would estimate 85% of the kids at any one time just by turning and rotating in the middle of the room. Plus, all the computers are lined up against one wall, two different walls, so you can see what every kid is doing on the computers. You know, if all of a sudden he's supposed to be in social studies and you see automobiles popping up, you go over and you take care of it. My desk, I don't have an office as the principal. I have a desk out in the middle in the open. These kids have a real negative connotation of what a principal's office is. So they walk by my desk. They've come up and talked to me. They have an issue with harassment, bullying, have an issue with the teacher. They can come right up and talk to me without having to get up, walk in the hallway. Plus, if I've got a kid sitting here with me and he has to go to the bathroom, I can sit here and talk. And he walks over, goes to the bathroom, and then comes back.
There are doors there, I suppose.
Yeah. Actually, no, they go around. You have to go back in. There are no cameras. We have kids that are used to in a regular high school where they get out of the classroom, and it's 15, 20 minutes to go to the bathroom, you know, because they've gotten used to that, finding the loopholes. They might go by their locker. Oh, one of my friends stopped me, or a teacher stopped me. And so all of a sudden, they're back in 20 minutes. Here, they're back and forth. When we created our chairs, we have chairs that actually rock back. We had them made by the prison system. Well, they also made our bookshelves. And our bookshelves, at 36 inches, weren't high enough to give separation between the learning areas. 48 was too high, because if I'm working with kids here, and I can't see over it to monitor, you know, Debbie or this troublemaker here on the end from Marshfield. So what we did was we had it custom made at 42 inches. That way it gives you enough separation between the learning areas, yet allows you still to supervise while you're teaching. So, we'll have Joanne. She's one of our students who's been there, this year? She came this year. And what's your overall attitude toward the environment?
Joanne, before you start, be sure to give us your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Joanne Mendoza. And I attend Calipuya High School. I've been going there since September. And I just love the school. I didn't know everything was so precisely planned out to take care of us. But
there's a method to the madness.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was so precise like that. But, I mean, it works. And it's helped me, you know, succeed. And it has helped me change and become someone that I've always thought I never could. And do things that I never thought I could. And it's helped me find, you know, all this strength inside of me to keep on pushing myself that I never knew I had. So, I mean, it works. It is a nice, relaxed environment, but you're still on task. You're not, you know, talking to the person in the other class because you know what you have to do. And you can still pay attention to the class that you're doing, but like Mr. Saunders said, still learn a little history at the same time. And although it might sound like you're not learning much like that, I mean, I have learned so much coming to this school. Like I told Mr. Saunders in his economics class, I was able to have a conversation about, you know, the marketing system and the way things are planned out with a student from the U of O. Like, I am learning here, so I don't know. I love the school. I love it. And I'm graduating in June, and I'm almost sad I have to leave. So,
if you turn to page 7 on your handout, you will see a photograph, the best photograph we could come up with, showing me sitting at my desk in the middle of a wide open space. And that is the wide open space that we are talking about. There is no privacy for students, but then again, there's no privacy for staff. And we are always together. In the course of 2 sessions that we run through the course of a day, a morning session and an afternoon session, where we have 2 separate audiences of students. And so for 3.5 solid hours, those kids are studying academics, We don't have very much feel-good lesson planning going on here. We do not fill time with like-to-know information. We cover the basics well, hard, thoroughly, and continuously in the course of the academic year. One of the reasons it appears to work is the fact that the kids know from the moment they speak about interest in our school that they're going to have to commit to something. Our success, a lot of our success, is based on the fact that each and every student who wants to go to Kalapuya must be interviewed by Mr. Chrisman, by a special ed teacher, Robin Patterson, or by myself, and we develop a contract. It is individualized to fit the needs of every student that comes through the door. But we spend, roughly anywhere from 30 minutes on an easy one to an hour and a half on a difficult one, where with the parent or guardian, the student, and one staff member, we commit to each other, A, that there is a want to learn, a want to recover, a want to restart, and a commitment to a series of promises, first they make to us, and that we make to them. And the student signs, and I sign, and the parent signs, and that becomes the focus of what that student will engage in academically and behaviorally as far as expectations for the rest of the school year.
I have a question, Madam
Representative Barr.
I know that we have other alternative high schools in Eugene, like the Riverfront, and I'm not sure who's part of that.
Part of Looking Glass.
Looking
Glass,
right.
And they have about
right.
three different options for kids.
And so I know, and there's probably been alternative options for kids for a number of years. Were they really addressing and meeting the needs of those students?
Alternative ed, especially from Eugene, there are programs that are boot camp. Willamette Leadership Academy is one of those where they wear uniforms, they do push-ups, they do sit-ups, and that would be on one end. You have another program, which we don't use, but you know the organism comes into the learning environment, and if it wants to play in the river that day or play video games, someday it will come around and read Shakespeare. So you have these two ends of alternative ed, and they put everybody into alternative ed when they talk about that. Some of the programs, work programs, and when we went to design this, we would love to have an work program application where kids are half a day in school and half a day working different projects. Northwest Youth Corps, Lane Metro, which is a part of Looking Glass. And these, for some kids, that idea of work, where you go in and you do the math, and then you go out and you build a bridge for the city of Eugene in one of their parks, you know, a small walking bridge. The application of those basic skills, that's real good for a lot of kids, going out and getting dirty and muddy and digging and the rest of it. Ours is probably more academically focused, where we're looking at improving reading skills, writing skills, those type of things. And I'm sorry to say, we had one of our graduates from last year went out to Lane Community College and took their placement test. They got one of the lowest scores ever on their placement test. Now, he was a special ed kid who left us, but we probably let him slip through without giving him the requisite skills he needed to go on. He's coming back. He's doing some night school courses with us. On the other hand, we needed to address that, so we've started a reading program. We found out about this in December. By the end of January, for second semester, we instituted a reading program. We had to. We have to meet the needs of those kids. There are some high schools that have reading programs. We're one of the few. I think North Eugene has just started one. Willamette's starting to look at it. It's a basic skill. You know, internet, whatever you talk about, the information age, you have to learn how to read. And so we're going to address that. I know some other programs aren't. Riverfront does a real good job with a certain clique of kids. But like Mr. Saunders says, our contract, when the kid comes in, they sign the contract. This is what you need to be successful at Kalapuya and reach the goal that you told me you wanted. Well, all of a sudden, if a kid's not on task behavior, isn't performing, isn't showing up like they've agreed to, then you say, well, I don't understand. This was your goal, and this is what we were going to help you to do, but you're not being successful. How can we help you be successful? Do we need to find another program for you to be successful in? We never kick a kid out What we try to do is find a program where they're going to be successful. A lot of these kids have been rejected and kicked out of traditional programs, traditional school. What we always talk about, and they may call it being kicked out, but we sit down and have a long talk with parent and student about where can you be successful, because that's what we care about. Even kids that have issues around drugs, I mean, before you can be successful here, you need to deal with your drug program. Let's find a drug rehab program, get you out there, then bring you back. That's a little bit of that return and repair model, but they have to deal with the drugs. Now, when they come back, we'll do supportive services, counseling, UAs, different kinds of group meetings if they need it. But you have to meet the needs of that kid before they can go on and be successful. But it's not me. It's you put that in the contract. That's what you agreed to. I'm just here to try to clarify what do you want.
Can you give us a little background on how, as an alternative school, Kalapuya is funded? What resource stream do you have?
To be honest, not adequate enough. I mean,
okay, that wasn't my question.
Okay. Our district was very. We had this wonderful idea. We'd go to the budget committee about 1998. And, oh, they loved it. Great.
Of the school district.
Yeah, the school district.
Okay.
They loved it, the rest of it. But we can't fund it. You know, it's just, to build the building and everything else, we can't fund it. So we wrote a charter school application and got a charter school. And we were ready, about 8 or 9 of us, ready to break. I mean, and one of the things that let us do is we thought outside the box. We were no longer a part of the regular school system. And we had books and chalk, and we were sitting there, you know, pretending how we would do with different kind of modules and how we would set up our school. When we set up our school, not the district school. Well, when they heard about that and saw what we were doing, they said, well, maybe we can do a levy, an option, you know, a bond measure. So they got a bond measure passed. $165,000 for a charter school, $1.9 million for an alternative school. Which would you pick? I mean, I did that. We get to work with the architect. I mean, it is amazing. You sit there and you work with the architect and you say, can we move this wall? And they do. You know, they do. They actually, and you can design the program that you want. How big are windows? I mean, we put as much thought into that building as we did the chairs and the bookcases. Because everything was centered around student success. And most of the people we were dealing with were all at least 10-year teachers that had seen things, good kids that weren't being successful because certain things weren't being met. And when we designed it, and we must have looked at 20 different alternative schools. And these kids are real, like I said, loopholes and finding cracks to hide in. You know, you'd see these kids back in an area because a lot of alternative schools will put them in. Oh, we've got we want to do an alternative school. Oh, we've got a high school or a middle school, or most of the time it's an elementary school that's been closed down, and we'll open it back up and put them there. Or a basement of a church. Or I think Gateways has opened in a bank. This is one of the first that's designed from the ground up, and that's what makes it. And although I have too much buy-in, you know, when kids spill something on the carpet, you know, we agonized for about 6 days over the, because you had to do 3 different colors of carpet. Have you ever tried to do that? 2 colors isn't bad, but 3 different colors was hard. And so when a kid does that, I sometimes have to kind of back off, you know, and do that. Or he stands on the couch, and I sat on 20 different couches to figure out which ones we were going to put
in. Did that surprise you, Joanne? That all that?
Not that part. But the good thing about it is if we do spill, we clean it up. So, you know, it's like our home. We're trying to keep it nice and clean. And, you know, he's like our father. If we keep a mess, he'll tell us to pick up after ourselves. And so,
if I can add one element
sure.
to that. Again, we're almost through our third year. We have not had one incident of graffiti inside or outside of our building. I firmly believe that showing these kids they were important with a new design, with a new structure, and everything in it, new and clean, indicated a fresh start for everyone, and they do buy into it, and they are co-owners of this school. It is more than just a place to learn. It's a safe place. It's a comfortable place. We have kids coming into school when they don't need to be there. That's for this particular audience of kids. That's impressive.
Indeed. Now, when you receive this, or receive this rather inadequate funding, did you receive the full average daily membership allotment then?
We get, we share the same staffing ratio, everything with the high school, Willamette High School. As a matter of fact, we were counted at one time when Ken Hunsaker was the one. And I really have to say, it goes to the benefit of Ken Hunsaker and the Bethel community that they were gracious enough to do this. Initially, I didn't think it had a chance of passing, but they worked and they sold it. And the community really cares, because a lot of the programs, alternative programs, are down in Eugene or in Springfield. So we had nothing really out in Bethel. But they've treated us just the same as the high school. Now, we don't have a sports program, but our kids can take advantage of the sports programs at Willamette. And we've got one on track, and we had one young gentleman playing basketball this last time.
I do apologize. I must take my leave, but I'm going to turn it over to Representative Golub. By the way, he's just bursting to ask some questions. So.
Enjoy your trip to town.
Thank you.
Yes, I am bursting, but we're going to let the chairman
He might defer. I don't know.
Then I'm going to look up and down the dial and see.
Since I've already raised my hand.
Because I get the last 40. Yeah, Senator Lemon, Representative Lemon, it's always
Thank
Senator
you.
Lemon.
Once a senator, always a senator.
Once a senator, always.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And first, I'd like to, if it possible, can I get a copy of the contract? So I'd like to look it up, what kind of a contract you have, and appreciate it. And then I'd like to know how many students do you have? I read in here it's about less than 200 this year, but I don't know exactly how many students do you have. Is it fluctuate? And also how many staff you have, and age bracket, and also how many boys and girls, some basic information I'd like to have.
If you would provide that information to our committee administrator, Kim Keller, he will see to it that all of us get it.
Okay. So basic statistics. We're targeted at 150 right now with our staffing, and we've gone up to this year as high as 158. As kids come in, they've learned to play the system, like I said, loopholes, and so we end up losing a certain amount. Okay, we shortened the year. We have 8 learning periods across the year. Each learning period is about 20 to 22 days long. For most of our kids, their lives are kind of disruptive. For them to be on a semester system where they all of a sudden are starting school in September and getting grades in January, that's a long time. And a lot of things happen in their lives. A lot of them start to fall behind. By right around Thanksgiving, they might have 50-40% of the points in the class. Because of that, the teacher will say, well, you're going to need 80-90% in December and January. Well, I can't do that. Why even bother going? So they drop out. We do 22 days at most, 23. And we can tell them, 22 days out, you can get credit. You can get a half a credit or an eighth of a credit in each one of your classes, so you get a half a credit. So we can build on that. Now, they can only miss 3 days in that time period, or they don't receive credit. They can still come to school, they can still acquire skills, but they can't get credit. And that's where we really focus on them, because we're trying to be proficiency-based. We don't want kids to go through and get a D and graduate. My classes that I teach U.S. history, everybody gets a C in order to pass. We're trying to raise their academic levels so that they can go beyond us out to some kind of vocational program, community college, that type of thing. So we run 75 kids in the morning, 75 kids in the afternoon. They're there for almost 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon. And there's one 10-minute break in between, but there's no passing time like a lot of schools have. You get up and you can see from the diagram, you walk 20 feet and there's your other class. Or you walk into a classroom another 30 feet. So things go pretty quickly. We have a school store, we have a free lunch program, we have a night school. We try to offer the same services that regular schools do.
I'm going back to the Section 22 requirements. You do 4 hours straight through, so that would be 240 minutes times 22 days, and that gets you to a half credit?
No, in our grading period.
Excuse me, Senator.
Of roughly 20 to 24 days, we're looking at an eighth of a credit in each one of those increments. One of the primary reasons why we shortened up these grading periods is these kids are not used to seeing success. And if we can show them success and something tangible, this eighth of a period or eighth of a credit is yours, you're done there, start over, continue on. We have seen this as a tremendous motivator. We have kids who literally call home and say, I'm getting a B, and parents who don't believe it and want to talk to me to make sure that that's the case.
Admit you cheated and get the right grade on here.
That's
so
right.
In the four learning periods, in a semester, did we get a half a credit?
Representative Len, did you get to finish your line of questioning?
I didn't get the answer that the ratio of boys and girls and average ages.
Right around 60-40, that would change a little bit, but just about every six, wouldn't you guess? I mean, last time I looked at it, it was right around 62% to about 48%. I mean, 38%.
So boys more than girls.
Boys more than girls.
Okay. And we do have this data that we can send to you in a more accurate form. Did you have another question, Representative? I believe there was one more that we had not addressed for you.
About the age bracket?
Yes. We do. We are firm in our belief that this is not a location for a freshman year students, 14, 15. We firmly believe, and we talk to a lot of parents about this, that regardless of how well your child did in middle school, they need to experience the regular high school. Kids can do terribly in eighth grade and bounce back and just love the regular high school. Some who were successful in eighth grade do not. But the experience itself of at least trying at a four-year high school, a regular traditional high school, we see as critically important. So the grades in which we entertain students are a sophomore through senior, and some that are physically a little bit older than that based on the laws and the needs.
Thank you.
Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Joanne, what are your plans when you get out in June?
Well, recently my mentor and I have been looking up and talking about going to college and possibly San Diego. I'm not sure exactly what school I'm going to be going to exactly, but all I know is that I'm going to be pursuing a teaching career. I want to be a teacher. So, and California has had a lot to do with my choice of what I want to be, and I plan to be a teacher soon.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chair?
Yes, Representative Barr.
I had a question, and it's really a follow-up to Representative Lynn's question, Bob. You mentioned that sometimes the ages of your students goes beyond 18. So my question for you was, what about a student that drops out, just isn't successful, but decides they really want to come back to high school, and say they're 19? Do you accept them as a student into the program?
We have accepted if they're 19 and need one or two credits, mainly government like Bob teaches or economics. And those are usually economics, personal finance, that are the breaker classes at that senior year. And if they're going to finish in a semester, we've allowed that. Otherwise, we have a night school program where they can pick up credits. We also offer GED assistance. And what I've talked to a lot of kids about at 19 is saying, why don't you get your GED and go out to Lane? And rather than be 19, when you go out and talk to an employer, wouldn't you rather be 19 and working on your college credit rather than 19 and working on your high school diploma? I mean, rather looking forward rather than looking back. But now if it's an issue around skills, there are basic skills. They could take night school classes for basic skills in math and English. But they also offer those at Lane. They can get it cheaper with us.
Mm-hmm.
We sit down and, like I said, try to meet the needs and meet the success of each individual kid.
So follow up with that. I'm sorry, and then I'll let you talk, Bob. I assume then if you're encouraging them to go to Lane, do you have the capability to guide them in seeking resources? Because I know for most of those kids, they wouldn't be financially able to pay for the tuition.
You heard the term mentoring. and mentors. Every staff member at our school are assigned a group of kids in which we mentor them. We help them with career plans. We help them apply for online FAFSA loans. We get the specialists in that can work with their options once they graduate. In addition, we do have a specialist on board who is GED certified. She used to work at Lane Community College. And although that is a diploma option, it is one we are pretty, well, we're hesitant to give it for kids unless they really are going to do something positive beyond acquire it. We will talk young students out of it to the best of our abilities. We will recommend to those students who choose to go the GED path based on age or whatever that you should accompany this with immediate attempts into a community college. The end-all diploma should be something beyond the GED. Indeed, we have some students who are planning to take a GED, but they're also going to get their basic adult educational diploma, too, so that they have a backup. Kids are starting to think outside the box and a little bit selfishly, and I think that is a good thing for them, too. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Any other? Yes, Representative Roland.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of questions. The first one, I think, is one that goes back to Representative Lim, and that is staffing ratio.
We're staffed at the same ratio as the high school.
So what is that? I mean, how many?
It's 25.5 to 1. But because we run half in the morning and half in the afternoon, our ratio is usually 12 to 14.
Right, which makes sense.
And that's the edge that it gives you.
Right. Yeah. And that's what the alternative ed rules allow you to do, which is another part of the... My second question had to do with, when you were going around looking at different schools, was this a particular model? Is this something that was totally different? And third, along with that, small schools research. I look at your number, and it's very similar to the stuff that we did on small schools research when we were looking at that. What was the... the underlying stuff that you brought back from all those visitations you did.
And well, it just showed that once you got above 200, you talk to different schools, and they're very successful by enrolling more kids. You end up with the bureaucratic system that becomes, you know, bell system, buses, everything else that start to run your school rather than your goals. And I probably looked, like I said, 20 schools, and most of them were all in that 100 to 150 range. Some that got up to 200, depending on your facility. It becomes difficult after that. And we just got back from we presented at the at-risk conference in Savannah, the National. And again, that's what we heard, was right about that magic number. And even a lot of the smaller school stuff that, like, North Eugene is doing or Lebanon is doing, is all focusing in on around that number if you've got the facility to do it.
What was very impressive was the fact that much of our brainstorming, and this wasn't a single meeting or a group of meetings, we're talking a series of years in which we got together and looked at our dream scenario for a school. Much of our visitations just reinforced that the ideas that we had been banging around were the right ideas. We were looking at an approach that was going to prove to be successful. Mr. Christman just mentioned that we returned from Savannah just the other day, and we were honored to present on a national basis. And attached to your handout, the last sheet should be this paper. If not, I have some copies and I'll give it to you. This is a conclusionary paper made by a group of experts from both Canada and the United States after 10 years of research on best practice approach. I went to that meeting after we presented, and I was absolutely floored to see that we are doing 95% of it. And again, it just reinforced that what we were doing and what we continue to do is right. When it comes to the numbers, Mr. Christman alluded to a student who did not do well at LCC on a testing basis. Because our staff is small, because we're behind the same approach to education, because we don't have the bureaucracy of most schools, we can make an immediate shift in what we do, in policy, in the course of a school day. We do it based on best practices and data that is driven all decisions in our school. But the sense of immediacy and responding the moment there is a problem or a concern, or another approach that might work, is what makes this truly a phenomenal place to work.
And we invite everybody and anybody. Parents have a standing invitation. They don't have to call. They don't have to, you know, send a message. They can walk in any time and watch their kids. And that goes to you, too. Any day of the week, don't even call. Just come. Show up. We'll give you cards when we leave. And I invite you to do it.
Are there any other questions from the panel? Yes, Representative Glenn.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, again. And if this working well in Kalapuya School, do you think it's a good idea, such as 2,000-3,000 students, big school, divided up into the smaller ones, more successful? Or bigger is better, necessarily?
Honestly, my guts would say no. I think you would just have too many people in too small an area. That's why we could have built ours fairly close to the high school, but there was a point where we wanted to get away, because the same things that were around that high school, I mean, every high school has that area where the kids smoke cigarettes and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
pardon me.
And that's where it'll draw them toward that. I mean, when our kids, sometimes they leave our building, you know, in the morning, and they'll go over to Willamette, we tell them, you're no longer you. You're a Kalapuya student. You're representing Kalapuya when you go someplace. And they'll say, well, those Kalapuya kids did this or this or this. So when they go over to Willamette and get in trouble, I hear about it immediately, and so we talk about it. But when they do, they go back right to that same behavior that got, had them having no success before at Willamette. So I can't see you expanding.
One more question.
Follow up, Representative.
Yes, thank you to the Joanne. And everywhere I see you, you look like a very normal, the beautiful girl. And what was the problem before you were not able to successful, before you come to this alternative model, the Kalapuya High School?
Well, I had typical teenage problems, you know. I was getting caught up in what I thought were, you know, drastic life situations, that I mentally made excuses not to go to school, you know, bad influences, and I just never attended, and I guess I was never really encouraged to go to school. But when I came here, I knew that, you know, this is a chance that I really had to, you know, take, and I didn't want to take for granted, and everyone was willing to help. I had never seen so, because before going to Kalapuya, I had gone to an alternative school in California. And when I went there, I had asked for a tour of the school, and because I just wanted a tour of the school. And what they told me was, you're a senior, so you're old enough to tour yourself. And so right off the bat, I didn't like that environment. And then the classes where they just give you packets and you don't really get, you know, you're not in a classroom environment with students, and you're not being taught anything. So, and the difference between Kalapuya and that was every single teacher you talk to will encourage you to do, you know, what you need to get done. And you're always being taught well. And I knew that this is something that would help me, and so I definitely wanted to take advantage of it.
Okay, just one comment before I finish.
Certainly, Representative Lam.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Dad, but right now you have a lot of supporting system for you, but when you go to college and plus when you grow up, you have to stand your own, mm-hmm. making your own decision, mm-hmm. and I hope sometime in the future you shall be able to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you will.
I know. I love everybody at Kalapuya. They're never going to be able to get rid of me. I never went to school before, and now I can't not go to school. I'm always there. I'm always there. So.
Well, that's very encouraging, and thank you, Mr. Chair. But Representative Lim made a comment, asked a question about the smaller school, and we do have now a new experiment in Portland, for example, with the Small Schools Initiative, and maybe we can talk to the chair and the administrator here about getting in somebody from Marshall High, for example, in my district.
I would certainly like to explore that issue. Representative Rowland, you had another question.
Thank you. One quick thing also for our young lady. Representative Farr was telling me that she saw you last night. And has the leadership opportunities, i.e. going to the school board, been a part of your growth?
Yes, definitely. I'm participating and doing so many things now that before I never thought I would do. I'm also, aside from being the student representative at the board meeting, which is where I met Representative Farr, through Kalapuya, I've also had the opportunity to volunteer at Prairie Mountain Elementary, which is a school that's located aside from us. It's really close to
us. South.
Yeah. And which has also helped me make my decision into wanting to be a teacher. So I've got a lot of opportunities through Kalapuya. Yeah.
Are there any other questions? We'd like to thank you very much for this peek into alternative schools. This certainly was a classic example of how to do one. Any comments before we close the meeting?
No, I think you have a very difficult job, and I appreciate it. I'm just glad that you're seeking as much information as possible. I really appreciate that in elected representatives.
Awesome.
Thank you.
We have Representative Roblin and I
are both haters.
If the funding were there, would you like to be going all day long as opposed to the half day?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
I was just, you know, because the alternative schools oftentimes do this half day thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I could see the opportunities available to you if you were going all day to be expanded. And I just want to hear from a student.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I have very mixed emotions about graduating in June because.
Now you're sounding like a typical.
Well, she also goes to night school.
Yeah. I'm there all. Well, let me give you a little bit of my schedule to let you know what it's like. So I go to school from 8 to 11:35, which is the day classes that I take, and then from 11:45 to 2:30, I volunteer at Prairie Mountain, helping out with first graders. Then I take an hour lunch, and from 4 to 6, I have night school. Then I recently started working, so from 6:30 to 10, I also work. So it's a long schedule, but, I mean, if I could, you know, be there all day, I definitely would. So that's why I'm saying I have mixed emotions about graduating at June. Sorry for cutting you off.
You'll make a good teacher.
That's true.
I think you'll be okay. I think that about wraps it up. Thank you again very much
for
the
invitation
you brought to us.
And I'll get you those statistics.
And with that, the House Committee on Education comes to close.
He just likes saying that. Yeah.